Hello, hello, hello.
This is Dr. Chib. That's Data Prince Alex. Welcome to the Blue Collar Dynasty Podcast.
Deuce, we're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, playing next man up, dynasty football. We're giving you in the trenches dynasty talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter, follow and message us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get a sneak preview of things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's Borne Football. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
This week, we're talking for or against rookie preseason reactions and preseason power moves. All right, y'all, let's get to it. So, rookie preseason reactions, this one's pretty straightforward. Where we have a long list of rookies in different position groups, quarterback, running back, wide receivers, and tight ends, because those are the ones in dynasty football that we play that you can score with. And we, with that list, we're going to just talk about whether we feel that the performance of the rookie has been positive, neutral, or negative. And we might give a little tidbit of why our reason is what it is. So, you want to start, or do you, I want to start? That's the question.
Why don't we go every other one and you can start us off.
Well, why don't I just tell all the listeners I don't have time to watch all these rookies play? So I'm gonna talk about who I know.
Sounds good. Sounds
I don't
good.
know. Oh, wait, first of all, let's take a step back. How do you watch the games? And do you watch the games?
So I watched some NFL Plus. So that's got a subscription attached to it, but you can't get every single one. Well, and you can't get the recordings unless you're like NFL plus plus or something. They're doing some different levels, this year, so it'll be interesting. For the most part, though, I watch the highlights that come out for each game on YouTube. That's usually how I get my reviews of the game. I try to catch a game or two here and there, but it's honestly hard. Got a busy life these days.
Yeah, you're right about that. I try to watch highlights too sometimes, but it's tough. Here's a quick financial tip if I can give to everybody. First of all, we're not liable for any financial information that we provide on this channel. Any information that you take is your own and only risk. We do not bear any risk or penalty or responsibility for any decision that you make. Now, with that being said, YouTube Sunday Ticket. That might be a good investment for real big football lovers. And if you're trying to get your credit up a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit, but you can't afford to pay you for YouTube Sunday Ticket just by yourself, if you go in with people you trust, you can put the cost of it on your credit card. You know, it's a small, like, I think it's like $64 a month, something like that, right? And
Something
if
like
you
that.
split it with three people, you're each paying $22 a month. Around $21 a month, 22. And if they can all afford it and they all get access to it, then you are going to get the credit benefit because you're able to, you're paying it off, while also getting to enjoy the football that you love. Little quick tidbit tip, but the nice thing is there's no contracts with it. So if like your friends or whoever, your family, whoever fall out, like flake on you, you can probably, maybe you get enough time to get some new people to hop in, or you just cancel it before you get charged again. All right, so I would definitely say think about that as an option if you want to watch a lot of football.
Sounds good.
So anyway, but me,
And we should plug not a sponsor.
yeah, not a sponsor, but
Love it to
decent.
be a sponsor, but not a sponsor.
Yeah, sponsor us so we can watch more of the games, so we can do talk more about the games and talk about more about people watching those games. All right, YouTube, listen up. So, but yeah, but other than that, you can do it with Sling TV, things like that as well. I do not have cable. I am a cable, I'm a cord cutter. I'm not paying 60,
Same here.
70, 80, $90 a month for anything. I don't even pay that much for my energy bill. And I have solar panels.
There you go. There you go. Yeah,
All
right. I also have cut the cord, and most of my, like last year, I just went with NFL, NFL red zone for the most part. And then this year, you know, a lot of NFL like Game Pass, where you could watch, rewatch games and stuff. That's gone away and moved to a different platform, which I wasn't a big fan of. So I'm now moving over to NFL Plus to try that one out this year. But yeah, lots
let
of
me know
different
how that
ways
goes for
to
you, NFL
watch.
Plus.
What's that?
Definitely let me know how NFL Plus goes for you.
Okay, yeah, it seemed cheaper than the other options, but I'm thinking I'm gonna have to upgrade in order to get like NFL Red Zone. But I think it's like only, I think it's, I want to say $90 a year or something like that. So it's like,
yeah, I was thinking about it, but I think what limited me was you can't get out of market games.
I believe if you upgrade high enough, you can, but I'm not positive.
Okay, I'll look into it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, sorry, y'all. Back to rookie preseason reactions. We got our list. We checked it twice. We're going to let you know if they've been naughty or nice.
Get out of here. It's not Christmas
Man,
time.
Hey, we're close enough.
No, we're absolutely not. I've had to tell my wife this. We're not close enough to Christmas.
Are we 6 months away?
Oh, geez. Probably.
We're less than 6 months away, right?
Can't be further, I think, in the calendar.
Hey, we're less than 6 months away, so we're close enough. We're almost there.
All right. What do
Anyway.
you think about the quarterback, starting with Anthony Richardson?
I mean, I drafted him. That's why I drafted him. So positive. Like, did they win their game? I don't think they won their game.
Yeah,
But
I don't think they won either game. But he's looked positive in terms of, like, he's looked as well as we expected. But he does look like a rookie, but he's, you know, he's doing the things we expected from him.
But even some of his bad throws look like good throws too. Like, it's impressive. Like, I think he had his one throw, he was getting tackled, but he still zinged it down the field. It didn't get intercepted, but it was impressive how he can still keep the game alive a little bit. It's almost like Patty Mahomes when he was a sophomore, second year. A little bit. I'm not saying he is. Just let's not be disrespectful here. But in terms of, he's trying to keep the game alive, but he's not trying to play too dangerous at the same time. So he's staying alert for opportunity and possibilities. That's what I'm trying to say.
Got it. Got it.
Which
All
is
right.
good. Shows good poise.
Yeah, absolutely. What about our couple of our top picks, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud?
Bryce Young, I can definitely see the neutral aspect, but I think we expected it. I think
Yeah.
early on we talked about this and we said they have no weapons.
Yeah, and I think what I fear most about Bryce Young is actually the lack of protection. He's gotten hit so much, and with his frame, I know that was one of the big knocks of him coming out of college, was that he's got a smaller frame. So him getting hit a lot, you know, he might get injured sooner. So there's some worry there for sure, and you don't want him to get shell-shocked, you know, and that can really ruin a quarterback's career. So, and I would say the same thing for CJ Stroud as well. I just don't want them to get so beat up that they, you know, lose the ability to have a nice career ahead of them.
I agree. And I actually watched the Texans games, and that was rough.
Yeah.
Like,
We
this guy got nothing.
We just haven't seen enough of CJ Stroud. I think his first game, it was like four or five passes, and it was just like, you can't take anything away from that. You know, he hasn't even gotten like he hasn't gotten the feel of the game yet at that point. So I don't know that either has really had a bad outcome. I think we just haven't seen anything to get excited about is really the issue here.
Yeah, that's true. But I also think that the coach is protecting CJ a little bit because they don't want him to die.
That's fair. That's fair. And quite honestly, I mean, what we're gonna see out there is vanilla offenses, you know? And this point in the year, the defenses are usually a little bit ahead of the offenses. So I do like the coaches keeping things close to the chest, but it does mean that we don't really have much to say about them at this point. Let's move on to a couple of the later round guys, Will Levis, Stetson Bennett, Dorian Thompson Robinson. What did we think about them?
I can't talk about Will Levis because I didn't watch him play. Stetson, he's looking good. He's looking like the heir apparent. I'm talking about if Matthew Stafford goes down, Stetson might become Brock Purdy. Honestly, I really believe that. Right? Dorian Thompson, I know you'll talk about Stetson too because I'm going to give your props here. I'm going to give him my props. So, listeners, never say that the Chip don't give Alex his props.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I saw Stetson Bennett show up to the combine and take control and be the best quarterback there, and he immediately went on my list of guys to keep an eye out for. And it, you know, I just actually wrote in our list because it was kind of outrageous that I didn't put him on there. Another rookie that actually outplayed Stetson Bennett in the most recent preseason game was Aiden O'Connell. And again, he was low draft pick, day three. And he plays for the Vegas Raiders. And he's worth keeping in mind. Him and Stetson Bennett have outproduced compared to what people expected out of them. And Aiden O'Connell's looked like a veteran. I believe he's 24. So like many of the rookies, pretty old coming out. But in some ways, that's good. And we haven't seen Jimmy Garoppolo play an entire season in ever, I'm pretty sure. So Aiden O'Connell is a name to know if he takes the reins in Las Vegas. Stetson Bennett, like you said, same thing in the Rams camp. Part of why we're kind of excited about both of them. And then Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he, right from the get-go of the Hall of Fame game, has looked good as the backup to who shall not be named. No, I'm just kidding.
I feel bad for Dorian because I don't think he's in a great situation.
And compared to the other ones, I agree.
Exactly. Like, it's better to be in a situation where, like, the quarterback may be aging out, right? Maybe injury-prone, so you get opportunity to actually play. Versus where the quarterback has been paid a fully guaranteed $250 million contract and they're going to run him to the ground, right? And so I feel bad for him in that capacity because I always thought coming out of UCLA, even when I watched him play, I thought he had like that special pizzazz that could be developed in something great. A team that I think what he would have been like really good at, that would have been positive to stay at, would have been the Jets, right?
Because yeah, that Aaron would be a good spot.
Yeah, so the Jets – that's one. Number two would even been the Miami Dolphins if they could have grabbed him.
Right.
And then number three, something in my head. Number three would have been the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You know, and so, actually of those three, I have to say that the Broncos are probably my favorite of the ones you named because with the Jets and Miami – my fear with them is, yes, they're A, quarterback-friendly systems. B, they have older or risky quarterbacks
that
could be injury-prone. But the biggest negative for both of those places is I don't think we've seen a quarterback be able to be a dual threat in a Shanahan system, and both of those places run Shanahan systems. So that gives me some pause.
That makes sense. But also, but Sean Payton doesn't use the dual threat situation either. He got Drew Brees his whole life.
Fair point. But he does like his Taysom Hill.
That is true. That is true. So, yeah. So then I agree with you on that, which I don't do often.
Yes. Yes. All right. And we zoomed right past Will Levis, I believe. And he's looked bad. I don't, yeah. Currently, what's his face? Oh my gosh. My
Tannehill?
What's that? No, not Tannehill is a starter there. Until he's not, but Malik Willis has earned the quarterback 2 spot. So,
yeah, that means Will Levis is trash.
Yeah, Will Levis is, well, yeah, probably. Will Levis is at least the 3rd on one of the lesser quarterback rooms in the league. So, really not saying much. Let's move on to running backs. I really don't think we need to talk about Bijan Robinson. I mean, he's looked exactly like what we thought he was. I mean,
he's not all hype. That's all I have to say. I watched. I said, this guy. Oh my god, like his cuts. Oh my god. I was watching it in my chair. I almost fell out my chair. He cut me.
Yeah. I don't think there's anybody keeping him out of the top 3 positions in a startup draft. I think Bijan Robinson is right there with the names of Ja'Marr Chase and, of course, Justin Jefferson. For Dynasty, he's got to be through the roof in terms of value at this point.
That one-handed catch he had, I said, what? Like, I'm like, is this normal? I'm like, this guy is it. This guy, he's got something special. Now, yeah. I will say something, though. I want to comment on the kind of current running back situation. And I'd like for you to comment on it, too, Data Prince, here, because did we talk about this last podcast, actually?
I don't know where you're going, so I'm not sure.
Did we give, like, our ideas on how we can fix the running back situation in
we did
do okay that. Never mind. All right, let's skip on, let's go, I don't want to go back to it then.
All right. So let's go on thinking about Jahmyr Gibbs. He's our next guy on the list. So he's looked good in the practices, but we really haven't seen much out of him in the games. He did flash a little bit in the last game, both receiving and rushing, but nothing major there. Zach Charbonnet has looked phenomenal.
Once again, I'd like to give you your credit, because even though I drafted him, you know, yep, I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was good.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you said it. You said that's a good pickup. I said, really? And you were very high on him early.
Yep. Yep. I'm a big fan of Zach Charbonnet's. He was my number 2 running back in this class. So I pushed Jahmyr Gibbs to number 3. Zach Charbonnet, he's lived up to some of the hype, or I guess in some ways outperformed his hype. And now we just have to see it in the game. And I think there's some good, he's well positioned to get some run early on. I think his running mate is still injured there, right?
And no one's injured. None of them are injured.
No one's injured anymore.
They're all back from injury. I was listening to the press conference. Pete Carroll said everyone has been healthy already, but what they're working on is getting them into football shape. So that's why they've been kept on like that list. But he said they're all 100% good to go. Everything is healed up.
Well, that's good. That's definitely good to hear. It might not be good for Zach Charbonnet, though.
No, it is good.
But with how Seattle, I should say for fantasy owners of Zach Charbonnet, because if you look at some of the other rookies coming out, Seattle brought them on slowly, and the incumbent always owned the job until they got injured. So I think there's going to be some growing pains there with Zach Charbonnet, but in terms of talent, it's there.
Well, I guess I would say only because I follow Seahawks, they have said that there are things that they've been trying to do for years that they were not able to do because they did not have the personnel to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they believe they have the personnel to achieve it, and they're adding in new and interesting plays that they have not done before. So it shouldn't be a surprise if Zach Charbonnet does get much more playing time than expected. That's what the insiders are saying, at least.
Yeah, I really want to see Seattle with just no tight ends. You know, I know there was some early hype in Noah Fant's career, but I don't need him on the field. I do need Jackson Smith and Jigba on the field, so that's a little tease for later. But let's talk the rest of the running backs here quickly. Devon Achane, he's looked really positive, but he's unfortunately sustained an injury that will keep him sidelined for at least, it looks like at least into the season a bit. Tank Bigsby, he's looked really good as the backup to Etienne in Jacksonville. I've actually drafted him in a keeper league. It's a semi-deep keeper league, but I'm actually pretty excited about this guy, and as much as I love ETN, I think he's going to steal some work because he is built like a tank. He's really big speed. So moving on, don't cancel me. Roshan Johnson. So I want to group three guys together here: Roshan Johnson, Chase Brown, and Zach Evans. Sort of later round guys. I think Roshan Johnson had the most hype as Bijan Robinson's backup, but all three of these guys have kind of had neutral scripts coming into the season so far, or into the year so far. They're all third stringers on their teams. They all have had fairly minimal news. They've gotten some run, really haven't done anything that made the papers, basically. I still think Roshan Johnson has a shot to earn a bigger role in Chicago. Chase Brown in Cincinnati, I don't see him getting much. In Zach Evans, same thing over in Los Angeles. But two guys that are worth talking about: Kendre Miller and Tajay Spears. So there was actually a second where Kendre Miller got injured and his value took a massive dip. And actually in like my thinnest league, I ended up dropping him and nobody's picked him back up yet. So that was interesting to me, but he is going to have 2 weeks without, oh my gosh, my names that I'm just trying to grab out of the sky are horrible. He's going to have a couple weeks without Alvin Kamara with his suspension. And Jamal Williams is there, yes, but we do have, there is some positivity around Kendre Miller, and he's looked good despite not really showing up for many of the preseason games. So I think he's going to show out in this third one here. So we'll have to keep an eye on him. Tajay Spears has looked really good behind King Henry in Tennessee. So if there's an heir apparent, it's Tajay Spears. And actually, I think he could handle the workload with his size. So some good names there. Dwayne McBride is kind of a guy in Minnesota in the same vein of thought as Zach Evans and Chase Brown, where I just don't, I liked him coming in, but I don't think he's special enough to push for playing time. In the opening, you might have heard me shout somebody's name, and I do think he's worth the hype at this point, though I would temper it with the name of Rico Dowdle, a I think, second year guy who is on the roster that they really like and is still ahead of him on the depth chart. But let's talk about Dallas running backs. Deuce Vaughn has looked phenomenal, really flashed in both preseason games. I like this guy, and
that's why I drafted him.
Yeah, it was a good on you. I've got him in a couple places too, and I'm excited about him. I don't know. I can't say enough good things about
you. Who did I? Do you remember who I compared him to?
Was it Sproles?
Yes, you got it. You know, remember? You remember?
I think he's the small guy prototype that you kind of go to.
I guess it is, but he's athletic, you know, and he finds his cuts and his holes really nicely, and he disappears, and out of nowhere he's there.
Yeah, exactly. They have said in practice and kind of on the field that, you know, he's hard to find, and that's probably a good thing. Go for it.
I was going to say, just as a note, I really appreciate it if he would kind of learn a little, not learn, but kind of take a little bit from Le'Veon Bell. Because Le'Veon Bell, as a running back, he kind of changed the way you can run. Because what he used to do, it's almost like in basketball. If you ever play point guard in basketball, your coach would tell you that if a pick is being set for you, he would tell you, do not move until the pick is fully set. Right? Take your time with the pick reset because you don't want an illegal screen. And when the pick is set, then you can decide how you want to move, whether you take the pick, don't take the pick, or whatever else. And you can make some adjustments. Le'Veon was doing the same thing. He was allowing the blockers to finish their blocking before he would make his run. Sometimes a running back gets too excited, they start running. But Le'Veon was really good with, he said he will hide behind the lineman. You know, and just kind of wait. And then as they're going and things are kind of moving a certain way, then he'll pop through a hole and he'd be fine. So I hope he takes a little bit from that.
Yeah, I think that's smart, especially with his size and that patience. Hopefully that'll really pay off for him. Another name here that we should talk about is a Tampa Bay undrafted rookie, Sean Tucker, out of Syracuse, actually. He just got on the field for the second preseason game and looked great. So I know we're talking about Rashad White having that backfield alone. I do think Sean Tucker is going to be the backup there. It's looking like he's securing that second spot. So good to keep him on our minds. Moving on to wide receivers. We've got some movement here in the top three for sure. Jordan Addison has looked positive. I will say he wavered. I got a little nervous for him after he decided to drive very fast down the road. Apparently for
to save his cat.
Cat? Was it his? Or, wait. Dog. Was it his cat or was it his dog? Because that matters.
His cat.
That's the wrong answer.
It was his dog.
I probably shouldn't say that with my cat in the room.
That's why they don't like you now.
Though he is finally eating. So Jordan Addison has looked really good though in the preseason, and looks like he's kind of doing that Stephon Diggs or Tyler Lockett mentality where you go down after you catch and really don't worry about run after the catch. Just save your career. So
pretty much the absolute opposite of Zay Flowers.
Yeah, probably. And unfortunately, the opposite of Jackson Smith and Jigba too. Who has looked good in preseason. He's gotten out there, but he unfortunately did break his wrist, right? Wasn't it?
Yep.
And so he's going to miss some games here. He just had surgery. It doesn't look like it's certainly not a season-ending injury for him. So it's not, you know, we're not throwing up our hands here saying, oh my God, the world, the sky is falling. Jackson Smith and Jigba still has a bright future ahead of him, but he does have to recover and he's going to miss some time.
That's true. But at least the good thing is it's not his legs.
Right.
Which means he can stay in shape and be ready to go when that time comes.
Yep. Yep. Good point. Good point. Next guy, Quentin Johnston. We've seen some positivity out of camp with him. However, there's been a lot of ups and downs. He's had some trouble with drops and I kind of turned negative towards him right before the draft and right before we kind of came up with our final rookie rankings before the NFL draft, because I was worried about a big body that really couldn't separate. And I think we're seeing some of that show up with his inability to really, you know, take over the games like the other two have shown and separate. Did you have any notes on him?
He did catch his first touchdown with sticks in preseason. It was a really good – it was a tough throw, tough catch as well, and he did a really good job securing it and bringing it in. So, but people have spoken about how they are nervous about his hands anyway. Mm-hmm. But we just have to kind of see and hope for the best.
I did see that stick touchdown, and actually I think that was, you know, Easton Stick, backup quarterback for Chargers. He secured that spot, and yeah, that was, I think it said more about Stick than it did Johnston, but yeah, absolutely. He's it's not like we haven't seen flashes, right? So there's something there, but he needs some consistency.
That is very true.
Zay Flowers has looked better. He's been kind of on fire. He also scored a touchdown Monday night. However, I will say the streak has been broken. The Baltimore Ravens had 24 straight
25.
They lost. Zay Flowers did score a touchdown against the Commanders. The Commanders did snap their preseason winning streak. 24. Whatever. It was 24.
Yeah, you were right.
wait, Chip. Dr. Chip, I couldn't hear that. Can you say that?
It's recorded, so you can repeat it whenever you want.
I got my information from an NFL podcast, so I figured I was right, but you know,
I went to ESPN. Things. Well, I thought it was 25. Sorry.
Well, no, you. I'm really dragging you through the mud. I'm sorry.
Hey, every dog has their day. Today's your day.
but you know what? Zay Flowers looked good, and he's dominating. So, and he's playing with the first team, so that's good. Even with Bateman is, I don't think Bateman's actually played in the preseason, but he is back, so that's good.
He's 99% healthy too, and so I'm excited to see what they do. First of all, you need to give me my props for the Ravens. I told you they're gonna be looking good. They look good.
I'm gonna wait for the season to start on that one.
Selfish.
I will say that the Baltimore Ravens will be good. I agree, and I have agreed with you all offseason that they will be good, but I don't think they can support as many fantasy assets as you say. So that's my issue or my qualm with your projections for both tight ends to be in the top five, was it?
Yep.
Yeah. So that one, and then I'm not sold on Odell Beckham here and his rejuvenation with this team. We've had way too many years of him just not doing enough. So he's been dead to me for a while. Rashi Rice, this is a guy that I feel looks phenomenal. He just showed up in the last game for Kansas City, and the biggest thing here is making sure that he gets in with the first team. But he brought in 8 of 9 targets for 96 yards against the Buccaneers. Talk about a breakout of performance. I mean, and of course he's not even playing the full day. I'm excited about him. I kind of need him in one of my leagues to be good, because I made a pretty bad trade for Damian Pierce and a first round pick. I traded away the beautiful wide receiver of Devonta Smith, well proven guy. I needed a running back, and I had Waddle already and a couple other wide receivers. So I traded the wide receiver for the running back, and then the first overall pick, or not first overall pick, but a first round pick, which had already been selected. So I didn't even get my choice, and it just happened to be Rashee Rice, who was a guy that was on my list before the NFL draft as a guy that looked good. So I don't know. I'm happy to see him doing well. The next guy we kind of both liked, I think, before the draft, Jonathan Mingo. He has been pretty neutral. He's been a starter, but he's had some drops and a few flashes.
He really got almost shut down during the Giants game.
Yeah. Okay. Talk more about that. Let's hear about that.
Nice little cornerback receiver battle. I forget the name of the cornerback, but he was just on Mingo like white on rice. Or like Rashee on rice. But he was just on top of him, and Mingo was not getting the separation you may have wanted him to get, and a little miscommunication with Bryce Young in some situations as well. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't look exciting, right? He caught, I think he got one catch, maybe.
Yep.
Against that matchup, but it did not look exciting at all. So we'll see. I mean, Mingo wasn't high on my board anyway. Mm-hmm. And I we'll see what happens, you know. And at that time, all the throws that I saw, Bryce Young had protection.
Mm.
And that's another thing that like kind of made me nervous with Mingo. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some veterans too that aren't playing in the preseason as well that might end up starting ahead of them, like DJ Chark and Adam Thielen. So it might be tough for him to get on the field early on. But those guys are also dealing with some injuries. So that could help them on the field. Who knows? So we'll see. Jaden Reed is another rookie here who is worth mentioning alongside really the whole Green Bay Packers receiving core. They've looked good, and as has their quarterback. So arrow up for Green Bay Packers receiving receivers. So
Green Bay Packers are not a team to sleep on. We talked about this earlier. I said Dobbs is really making a connection with Love. Mm-hmm. And that's something not to take lightly.
Yep. Yeah. And Christian Watson looks like a solid 1A at minimum, if not a solid first wide receiver. So I like what I'm seeing there.
I look forward to seeing what they do.
A couple guys that we have neutral, Josh Downs and Marvin Mims, we just really haven't seen much out of them. Josh Downs really isn't a starter yet, but he does have some positive camp reports. And then Mims, really neutral. He's got some injuries there. Jalen Hyatt has showed some positivities.
He's looking good.
Yeah, with the Giants. And the Giants are looking good overall, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Daniel Jones is looking much better, and I've been hard on him. I'm still going to stay hard on him, you know, because I still think he's a little bit – I don't know if he's that 8 guy. But people are, you know, singing his praises right now. But it is preseason, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
But Jalen Hyatt, though, he's looking great. Phenomenal. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how he continues to develop. Him with Isaiah Hodgins and Darren Waller, that's going to be such a threat. And then, of course, Darius Slay on the other side. It's going to be such a threat. Not the other side of the field or the other side of the ball, but on the other side of the. You know what I mean?
Behind chair.
Anyway. Yeah.
Something. I think you named too many guys to be on the field all at once, but
No, Darren Waller is a tight end. That's why.
oh yeah. But yeah, you're probably right. You could do I think you got a three wide receiver set with what you said with the tight
Yeah,
end.
exactly.
And
We're tight
you
end,
get
yeah.
Saquon Barkley out of the backfield. Yeah, I'm a little afraid. You know,
Okay, yeah,
I don't know.
I was
No, I know. I'm just kidding. Marvin Mims, we talked about Tank Dell. So little guys for the win here. I like Tank Dell, and he's shown some flashes, and I'm hoping that he's going to be able to get some real playing time here with CJ Stroud and really become his go-to guy wherever he's lining up on the field. Probably in the slot, but you know, I'd like to see them use them in some other areas as well.
I was like, that Tank Dell sounds so familiar. I was wondering why. Now I remember why. So
Yeah.
I saw him play. I saw him play a week ago. So, all right, now to the tight ends where I don't know
Whoa.
none about
Wait,
them.
Michael Wilson, we got a name too. He's
Okay, go ahead.
been looking good. And he's been there out there in wide receiver or two wide receiver sets with Arizona. So I expect him to be a starter, and I think arrow up for him, and he's going to progressively get stronger as Kyler Murray comes back and gets stronger. So now we can talk tight ends.
Well, you go and talk tight ends because I don't know none about your tight ends. I keep saying
All right. Well, we're gonna teach you about tight ends, I guess.
there you go.
So names to memorize. All right, Michael Mayer here with Las Vegas has looked neutral, despite being one of the most highly touted. He really hasn't done too much. Dalton Kincaid. I think people are. I've literally seen them on the streets frothing at the mouth, trying to get a piece of Dalton Kincaid, and Buffalo is going crazy for him. Josh Allen's raving about him. It's hard not, especially as a Bills fan, not to get overwhelmed by that. I'm probably lucky in my home draft that I already had Mark Andrews as a keeper, so I didn't, you know, jump on the Dalton Kincaid bandwagon. And yeah, I could say similar things about Sam Laporta in Lions camp. So Sam Laporta has also been getting rave reviews, and really they have some wide receiver issues, with some suspensions, some injuries, and it's basically Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta and you know, a couple of veterans as well, but those are the big names. And then we talked about Green Bay. We talked about their wide receivers and their quarterback, but we neglected to mention Luke Musgrave, one of their two rookie tight ends, but really the one who is an instant starter for them and really has shown his ability to stay on the field. Good with blocking, but also pass catching. Absolutely, a name to know. He might really look good really quick. This honestly, just as things stand right now, I'm already like in awe of this tight end class because I don't think we've ever had this much hype in preseason for this many rookie tight ends. I will end our tight end section in a bit of a downer, but Darnell Washington, he's done some things on the field. He's caught a couple passes in the preseason, but we're going to put him at neutral, along with Michael Mayer, because Darnell Washington is also behind Pat Freiermuth, and so there's in Pittsburgh, so there's really not much area for him to, you know, increase his value per se. So, at least as things stand right now. So he's a work in progress, let's just say.
What team is Darnell play for again?
Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, with Pat Fryman with there. I wonder what they're gonna do with that situation.
Yep. And I guess we've been giving me a lot of props, but Darnell Washington was my top tight end in this class. So he's maybe not living up to my hype, but he's people thought he was kind of going to be a work in progress, and here we are. So, kind of no surprise for anybody but me.
He said we've been giving me a lot of props, but let me just go ahead and talk more about myself.
Hey, no. I was giving myself shit.
We'll see with Darnell. That's what I'm saying. It's a different situation.
Yeah. So, all right. Chib, I've got some questions for you, whether you're for or against a few scenarios here.
This should be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know what side you're going to argue, but I will say I'm going to argue the exact opposite. And so I'm just going to have to figure out how. So scenario one is Kendre Miller, running back for New Orleans, is a top 18 running back this year. Are you for or against it?
Go ahead. All right. Kendre Miller.
Yep.
I'm going to say four.
All right. Tell us why.
I think that the Saints are going, they're not going to rely heavily on, let me take that back. If they want their card to be successful, they're going to want to have a good running game. They're going to have to give this guy plenty of opportunity, as well as with Alvin Kamara being out for what, six games, I think it was?
Three.
It wasn't six?
Nope.
Okay, three games. But nonetheless, being out for that plenty of games, that's going to allow him to kind of establish himself even more, and get increased opportunity and increase share load. Hopefully that translates into a better performance from Derek Carr, which would then make them lean more into Kendre Moore. That's why I'm saying I can see it happening. Now, the likelihood of it happening, if that's what we're being asked, I'm going to still argue yes for it.
You think it is the most more likely outcome?
I think it's more likely than not, yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to argue against it, though I tend to agree, as I said earlier, but in terms of the against argument, that would be basically looking at Jamal Williams, right? So Jamal Williams, they brought in as the veteran. He is going to get the first snaps in those starting games of the season when Alvin Kamara is out. So you take that, Jamal Williams getting the first reps and starting the season. Kendre Miller may be working his way in. He's going to have to show something great to really in those first 3 weeks to really earn himself a spot. And just as he might be grasping a foothold, Alvin Kamara will be back. And Alvin Kamara has looked really good in this preseason. He's looked a lot better than he looked last year when he seemed to be slowing down as a running back. He's going to have some extra time to rest and come back on fire, fighting for his job. So that would be the argument against is that Alvin Kamara is good enough and Jamal Williams is the veteran and gets the first touches and actually holds Kendre Miller off long enough for Alvin Kamara to come back and shove the other two out of the way.
Okay. I like it. Okay.
Our scenario two is Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback this year. Are you for or against?
Against.
That was why.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking to myself, okay, who could be top quarterbacks this year? And especially depending on situation. Jalen Hurts, I think, will be a top quarterback this year. Right? top five. I mean, let me just say that Patrick Mahomes will be top five. Josh Allen will be top five. What's it called? I know y'all gonna think I'm crazy, but yeah, I told you I'm biased. Geno Smith will be top five
Oh,
this
get
year.
out of here. I'll take
He was top
okay.
five last year.
I no, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
I'm gonna fact check that for a second, but in the
Wait, you're talking about
meantime,
fantasy? Oh, we're talking about fantasy. That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
we're talking about
He
fantasy.
was top five last year. Hold on. Let me check.
So in our league, damn it, you're right. He was top five
Thank
in our
you. Stop
league.
playing me.
Our league is a little weird.
Nah, no excuses.
Okay, he's the top five last
Who
year.
was top five in our league last year?
I'm gonna say Joe Burrow was
Yeah.
as well.
Was he?
Yep, he was number four.
Yeah, he won't be top five this year.
No, he won't.
So,
But I
but
would
then
say Lamar Jackson is probably up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and then there's the last one I was gonna say is gonna be sneaky because of his situation again. Oh, actually two. There's two I'm gonna say it. That could be sneaky because of some situations that are developing. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. Those are the two, right? So I think because the Cowboys are not gonna, I don't think they're gonna rely on that guy as much. I don't think he's gonna be top up there in terms of fantasy points.
Counter argument. So I'm gonna give you the realistic argument first.
Go.
And then we'll go into bigger scenario. But I'm going to name off some names that can catch passes. Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, Michael Gallup. All of those guys have looked good in the preseason. And yes, I know Jalen Tolbert, Michael Gallup feel like failures, but there is some hype coming for them. You've got Tony Pollard. You've got our guy Deuce Vaughn. And then I haven't even mentioned their top name, CeeDee Lamb, right? So all of those guys are solid pass catchers. And whoever they have at tight end. They took out of town the offensive coordinator who was forcing Dak Prescott into situations where he's throwing a lot of picks. So those are negative fantasy points. Now, you put Dak Prescott in a situation where he's now surrounded by all of these pass catching weapons. Whereas last season, who did he have? He had CeeDee Lamb. That's it. He only had CeeDee Lamb. And then he had some ground and pound running back and Tony Pollard. So he had two pass catching running backs or two pass catching weapons. And then Zeke Elliott, who was kind of ground and pound last year. I know there's some disrespect there. So all of those
Okay.
improvements, and then here's the less realistic scenario. I don't believe a word out of this coach's mouth when he says that he wants to run the ball, because every single thing that they have done this offseason has been all about getting Dak Prescott more pass catchers, not getting the team more running backs. And like, for example, they let Zeke go. They didn't have to do that. They didn't even try to get Dalvin Cook, right? Kareem Hunt, not on the list for Kareem Hunt. All of these guys, they haven't put their hat in the ring for it. Now, I will say, I'd probably change my tune if they brought a certain Colts running back to town, Jonathan Taylor. But even so, he does have some pass catching acumen. So and that might help stabilize things. But I think we've got a real challenge here if we're saying that they're not going to pass the ball. And yet, all we're doing is giving Dak Prescott passing weapons. So I think there's a little bit of an argument to zig while others are zagging on Dak Prescott. And he's a year removed from his injuries that slowed him down last season. He was very injury. It was a very injury riddled season. So he wasn't rushing the ball as much. It was his first year without a solid number of rushing touchdowns. And to just give you that number, every season before, so he started out in 2016, 666 in terms of, those are 3 years in a row of six touchdowns. 2019, 2020, 3-3, and then the last 2 years, 1-1. In both of those seasons, he missed a game or two. All right, so I'm countering myself a little bit, but last season he only played 12 games, and he was still the 17th best quarterback in the league. So, is that still enough?
You mean only? Sounds like you attacked your own argument, but we can move on.
I lost some steam there. I was not expecting the stats I found. Scenario three, Treylon Burks, Tennessee wide receiver, is a top 24 wide receiver this year. For or against?
Ooh, this one's tough because 24 seems such like a huge number. It's like there's 32 teams, tower receivers, like you should get into 24. But I know with DeAndre Hopkins there.
Are the Tennessee Titans going to have enough passing to have two pass catchers in the top 24?
That's the question. So my answer is going to be no on this one, even though I don't like it. I mean, probably because I don't like Tennessee. But number two, because of the D-Hop situation.
Okay. I can agree with that. I do agree with that. Here's the counter.
So you also hate Tennessee?
I also hate them. The counter to that would be Treylon Burks is coming into his second season. He's looked good in preseason, and second seasons for wide receivers are oftentimes where they boom, you know, they explode onto the scene. And let's be honest, DeAndre Hopkins is old. So maybe we see him take a step back. He's in a new situation. You know, look at AJ Green as an example of a wide receiver that we really didn't see fall off until he switched teams in his 30s, and all of a sudden, you know, he's a dead man walking. That was rude. But maybe that happens with DeAndre Hopkins, and Treylon Burks then has the opportunity, just like he did last season, except this time he's good. What do you think? Would I make it in debate club?
You would. And I, you know, most people don't know this, but I have won multiple championships in debate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I was ranked number two nationally in my fraternity.
Nice. I can say I have never attended or competed in a debate club competition.
Oh man, I love debating. I love debating because I like to think about the different aspects.
Yeah,
that are the different possibilities. Let me see that. So,
well, yeah. Well, that's impressive, man. Now we're gonna have to debate more things on.
Test out my skills.
Exactly. So let's test them out on Mike Evans here in scenario four, Tampa Bay wide receiver. Is he going to be a top 24 wide receiver this year?
I think so. Right, as long as he says, now, can I put an asterisk about health?
Sure.
All right.
I think that's always built in.
Okay, cool. So as long as he stays healthy, I think he will. I don't hate Baker. I'm not off the Baker train at all. He looked really good last year with whatchamacallit. He looked really good last year with the Rams. And I feel like if he's in a positive environment, he's gonna get the support that he needs and he just focused and it's about that work. I think Mike Evans will benefit from that. And I think Mike Evans has a lot that he can teach Baker himself. They just keep him calmed down. Honestly, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is gonna be, because I know they also like what's his name? They drafted the kid.
Kyle Trask.
Trask, yes. They also like him. So whoever it is, I think Mike Evans is gonna do his best to definitely perform. The difficulty is, do they have a lack of weapons that can make it hard for Mike Evans to get the one-on-ones that he may need, or he's going to be doubled and triple teamed the whole time? So that's what makes it difficult for me when it comes to this situation. But I believe in his skills and his ability.
Unfortunately, I probably have more ammo here for the for than the against. Despite kind of trashing Mike Evans in a lot of my rankings, though he has moved up recently. The biggest thing here I would argue against is I don't think this team is good. I think they're I think their offensive line is going to be the problem. And with Baker Mayfield having limited time to actually stand in the pocket long enough for Mike Evans to get down the field and Baker to chuck it, I think he's going to have more limited targets than he's seen ever in his career. Baker is more likely to utilize someone like Godwin closer to the line, get the ball out quick, and Trey Palmer, who's looked good in preseason. He also might use he liked in Cleveland, he liked using his running backs for pass catching. Now he's got Sean Tucker and, more importantly, Rashad White. So I think there's other options there, and I think they're gonna have a hard time even getting Mike Evans the ball. Now, to totally trash my argument, Baker Mayfield last year and before that was one of the best deep ball passers, despite and also passed the ball often in the backfield. The issue with Baker Mayfield is he likes to hold on to the ball because he likes to go for the big play. So, there is conversation here for Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield to be a match made in heaven. I think it just depends on if they play the game the same way. You look at Odell Beckham and Baker, and they just did not mesh. And who knows? We'll see if that's the case. I will say Baker Mayfield has this job on lockdown. I don't think Kyle Trask is anywhere near unless he shows up in this third preseason game and looks lights out.
Makes sense. Yeah, I agree. Some people have been arguing that they said, I think recently they said it's a real quarterback battle.
So the issue is that it's been clear on the field who's the better quarterback, and they've also listed Baker Mayfield as the starter, and
Okay.
then the head coach refused to actually
Say it.
say it out loud. So
I wonder if they're just trying to encourage Baker or create like that competition mentality inside the building.
I think that's really it. But they might be right if Trask shows something in the last game. I don't know. All right, let's get to our second to last scenario here. David Njoku in Cleveland is a top six tight end this year.
I'm
Or
going to go ahead and buy into that one. I want to say, yeah.
all right, tell me why.
Last year, it almost felt like he was having a breakout year, honestly, when it came down to it. And I think in him and Deshaun being more connected and everything like that is going to only expand his or increase his opportunities. So I'm hoping he'll get more touches, more looks, which will then result in more points. And when it comes to the tight end position, I know it's hard, because not hard actually, it's not as competitive to me, because it feels like Kelce and Mark Andrews, Those two are at the top, and there's a big dip at afterwards. So it seems to be, it should be a little bit easier to get into that situation. So as long as Njoku does his blocking, and he kind of moves like a receiver anyway. And let me just take this real, say this real quick. The only tight end that I can see surpassing Mark Andrews or whatchamacallit, Travis Kelce, would have to be Darren Waller, right?
Yeah,
That's the
that's
only way I can see surpassing them. So I think he'll be top three this year. But the other three spots, I think Njoku can definitely do it. Especially mainly because Deshaun Watson should be more used to the offense now, and they should be more connected.
got it, got it. And you think Dalton Kincaid is in the top six, right?
Let's not leave anything out. Maybe, yeah, sure.
There is. Weren't you saying that one of the Buffalo tight ends was going to be in top six?
I think so, yes, because I feel like if Buffalo focuses more on using their tight ends, especially with the disgruntled Stephon Diggs a little bit. But I think Stephon's going to be back for week one, honestly, because he did say recently he never asked for a trade, which I don't know if that rumor came out. But I really feel Buffalo's going to try to use that tight end a little bit more. And I think it's going to open up the game a little bit if they do that. But we'll see what Josh does.
Yeah. I'm just trying to keep track of the tight ends in your top six.
Gotcha. Yeah. So anyway, that's it.
Yeah.
That's
All
I
right.
got four in the top six right there. That's four, right? No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's five. My sixth one, I don't know.
All right, counter argument. I'm gonna list off names. Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Cedric Tillman, David Bell. All of them.
Donovan Peoples-Jones is not getting anything.
Wow. That's a little rude.
I don't want to say it's rude, but it's just I feel like I had him on my team, and he's like, I'm getting nothing.
Yeah. So, and he's kind of the deep threat, and they also drafted Cedric Tillman, who might replace him. David Bell has gotten some hype. He got a touchdown. And three caught three or four targets in his in the first preseason game. But Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore are kind of the big names, you know. And so off of these guys, I feel like the number of passes are going to be lower because they do love to run the ball in Cleveland. You know who else loves to run the ball? Deshaun Watson. So we're doing a lot more running, and I think the volume could be in a range where it's low enough to then be isolated to just a few guys and really only being able to support one or two weapons. And I would point to Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore for those to be those weapons. With a smattering of those other names that I named built in. I think David Njoku is going to be involved, but I also think that it's going to be hard to get enough volume to really launch him into the top six.
Okay, I see your argument there, but I think he'll get his volume personally.
All right. Scenario six, Alexander Mattison is a top six running back this year. For or against?
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. Let me think. Who are the top running backs this year? And let's think about situations.
All right, so I'll give you some help. Christian McCaffrey.
No. No help needed. I'm just finishing it off here.
Okay.
All right, top six. I'm gonna be bold here and say yes, because of situation. He's gonna get the vast majority of the workload. And I know it's a pass first offense. It's a pass heavy offense, but I think that they do value the run game in a bit, and they will continue to value it. So I'm gonna go ahead and say yes, mainly because of the workload that he'll get.
Okay.
Your
I'm gonna name
turn.
since you didn't name off the names in the top six, I'm gonna. Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson. So I also did not name Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, or Tony Pollard. So those are 10 running backs right there. And I would even put Dameon Pierce above where Alexander Mattison could finish.
That's a good one. Oh, I might have to change my answer.
So you've
But I
got,
still really like his situation. That's the thing.
Yeah. So you've got all of those guys, and Alexander Mattison is going to be above him. I think there's an argument against. You want to hear the counter to my argument?
Yeah, that you're against.
I currently have Alexander Mattison for this season ranked at number 6 in my running backs.
So I'm crazy.
So thank you, Chip. That was fun. I got to actually argue against everything that I believe in all of those scenarios.
So everything that I agree with, that I said, you agree with, really. Look,
no,
it's
but
crazy.
That was good. I think it makes a good point, though, because we actually could argue either direction. All of these things are possible, and nothing is guaranteed. I will say I do think Dak Prescott has a better chance to be in the top 5 than you expect. But I do think that's tough. It's a tight top 5, you know. All it takes is an injury and you're out, basically.
That's true. That is true. That's very much true. But and I look forward to seeing what Dak does. You know, it's funny. I guess I should have more faith and hope, because this is the same coach that coached Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers won an MVP.
Was it the same year? I thought it was once he got kicked out of town that Aaron Rodgers got the MVP.
No, Aaron Rodgers has what, 3 MVPs now? Or
oh, probably. Probably.
Yeah, so yeah, he definitely won one or two with while McCarthy was in town.
Okay.
So
I'm not gonna fact check that. I'll let you have that win. The people can fact check you.
Yeah, y'all tell us if I'm tripping or not.
All right. Let's move into preseason power moves. And for the sake
of
time,
I like some of these, and I hate you for some. I hate you for one of them, actually. But go ahead.
We're gonna try to keep things rolling pretty quick here. So, we've got a few different categories that we're gonna look at in terms of power moves. The first bucket is trades for cheap. So these are people that this is kind of dumpster diving. But there's one name on here, which is probably the one you're mad at me for, that is not dumpster diving, but it's taking advantage of a bad situation. So trades for cheap. Trey Lance. Ah! Is that the one that hurt?
No.
I was going to say, Jesus. So you could, these are people that you should trade. You could trade for really, really cheaply, and they could actually really pay off. Trey Lance, quarterback, San Francisco. He might be traded out of there. So but right now he's the third quarterback on that team. He's really looking like he's a bad fit for the system. And Nerick Prince, running back for Kansas City, undrafted rookie, has looked really good, has gotten some run with the first team. That has been when other running backs are out. Right now he's third on the depth chart, and maybe can show something. Desmond Ridder, quarterback, Atlanta. He is a running quarterback, and if he really actually shows up as the starter this year, it could mean really good things for fantasy football. Sam Darnold, quarterback at San Francisco. If Brock Purdy were to lose the job, he'd be losing the job to Sam Darnold, who has actually looked like a new man in San Francisco. Kadarius Toney is currently injured, which has really taken all of the hype out of the balloon for him in Kansas City. I'm kind of pretty much out, but that just tells you that you could get him from me for cheap. So there's ways to buy into Kadarius Toney. Again, this is you're hoping that he gets healthy and stays healthy. Talking about injuries and getting healthy and staying healthy, Jackson Smith and Jigba is on this list. It's really hard to trade for rookies. But a window might have opened here where people panic if they needed Jaxon Smith-Njigba to do something great this year, which would be rare. I would expect them, if they really wanted that, they would have gone with somebody like Addison, who had a better opportunity. But just saying, there's a little window here to buy into JSN.
Well, if you try to train for JSN, you better come with 3 first-round picks. That's all I'm saying. It's for cheap.
You're not getting them from Chib. That's what I just heard.
That's all you need to know. You're not getting not from me. Generational right. Talent for cheap? Oh, my God.
I know. All right. Trades for win now teams. So this is now where, like, that was the pennies, and I know I put JSN in there, and that was wrong. I apologize. But this next bucket is reasonable value, guys. So guys that are a little bit down and could go up. Tua Tagovailoa. He now has jiu-jitsu to help him land, and he's been kind of showing it off in the preseason. Maybe he has less concussions. Dak Prescott, again, we've kind of talked him up. Deshaun Watson, we've talked about him. He's looking a little bit more like himself this preseason. So maybe that continues. Jonathan Taylor, he might not be in Indianapolis for long, and that's probably a good thing. Najee Harris, for Pittsburgh, he might be better than people are looking at him as right now. He has really looked bad in preseason, and that's because they've been running a vanilla offense and just running them straight into blockers. You know, he got single digit carries in preseason and single digit yards. So I'm not worried about what he's getting. They're saying he's the starter. I believe them. They don't do anything except run their running backs into the ground. Cam Akers, he's got that job locked down. I'm way too high on Cam Akers probably, but I know a lot of people aren't. Alvin Kamara just came down with the suspension for 3 games, but looks good, so maybe a good time to buy in. James Conner, he's alone in Arizona. There's nothing else there, and I think they're going to surprise people and be slightly better than people are expecting. And what I mean by that is, rather than having like 1 or 2 wins this year, they're going to have like 5 or 6. And that's going to be when Kyler Murray comes back. Rashad White could be really good. Antonio Gibson, again, undervalued. Brian Robinson, his running mate, also undervalued. Jamal Williams, again, maybe he takes control in New Orleans. Dalvin Cook for the Jets, he's going to have some real good value this year, especially early. Juju Smith-Schuster, nobody's really focused on him except he's the number one wide receiver in New England, and he's a slot receiver for a team that loves to throw to the slot. So I'm kind of excited for him, except it's hard to be. Gabe Davis, there's some good hype around Gabe Davis in Buffalo. So, you know, maybe he's a post-hype sleeper here. Elijah Moore, kind of in that same bucket in Cleveland. Cortland Sutton, this is like a post-type sleeper. He's getting really buried, and a lot of people just want out. But if Russell Wilson is actually better, Cortland Sutton might be the recipient. He's definitely going to get a lot of targets. Alan Lazard in New York with the Jets, a favorite guy of Aaron Rodgers. You know, Randall Cobb, I don't know that Randall Cobb is still like really running routes per se. He seems to be more of a locker room guy. But Alan Lazard is the guy that Aaron Rodgers loves and will actually be running routes. So, and he's just good. And not to mention Corey Davis apparently retired. Did you see that? That was wild.
I saw that today. Yes. He retired, 28 years old.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm jealous.
I think there's, yeah, I'd love to do that too. I think there's a real route there for Alan Lazard. Sky Moore, Kansas City. He's actually maybe too hyped right now to buy in. Romeo Dobbs, you know, could be in that same bucket. Mecole Hardman also for the Jets. He might warrant a look, with, again, no clear number two wide receiver on the Jets. Isaiah Hodgins is a good target for with the Giants. Van Jefferson, a good number two in LA with the Rams. He might be behind, or he would be behind Cooper Kupp. And if Stafford is actually himself again, that could be a really good fit. Cade Otton in the tight ends, Juwan Johnson, tight end, New Orleans, Cade Otton's with Tampa Bay, Irv Smith with Cincinnati, Gerald Everett with the Chargers, Darren Waller, whoop, whoop. He's probably not, he's like the furthest from a bargain bin that you could get. There's so much hype around him. You're probably going to be paying up, but he is a
Don't even
win
know how
now.
you're gonna get that wall. That's something like, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, he is, again, this is the win now bucket. So,
It's gonna cost a little bit of money, or cost a
yeah,
little bit if it makes
exactly. But
sense.
he will plug your tight end position. And then Kyle Pitts, while a good long-term option, he's also probably a win now candidate because if he's going to show anything, he's going to show it this year.
You think so? You've
Yeah.
been high on Desmond Ridder, I'll be honest. You've been high on him, but
I really have. I think it's the three top 10 overall rookie picks 3 years in a row that surround him. That's the biggest reason I'm really high on him. And he's looked good.
got
All right.
you. Okay.
Let's talk about pickups, our last section here. These are guys that you can get in most leagues off the waiver wires, and I'm talking really deep dynasty leagues. So these should be good for anybody. Deion Jackson, Indianapolis Colts running back. This is just a play to, get in on any of the running backs in Indianapolis with the potential for Jonathan Taylor to leave. Kyren Williams, running back for the Rams. He is actually a good candidate here because he's secured that number two job over Zach Evans. And number two jobs are, it's worth hanging on to the number two running backs in Dynasty. Elijah Dotson has had extremely good preseason games with the Chargers. As a running back, he's ripped off some huge runs multiple weeks in a row. And he might be the backup to a running back that they're really looking to take some work off of. In can you help me, Chib, here? I'm getting tired. This is Eckler, Austin Eckler. Oh my gosh. Okay, our counterpunch to Deuce Vaughn is Rico Dowdle. He is currently number two on the depth chart in Dallas. So worth keeping in mind, he's the only bully running back. He's the only big body running back in Dallas right now. So who's getting the goal line touches? I don't know, but my money would be on Dowdle right now. Latavius
Okay.
Murray, similar story in Buffalo. Goal line. Damien Harris has been a little banged up. He's back in the field, but Latavius is probably going to be involved somewhere. Did you have something to say?
No. I was listening about the Rico Dowdle. I never heard of him. So I'm like, it's new to me.
Yeah, he's a second year guy. I think a local too, undrafted. Yeah. Jalen Tolbert is somebody that I think most dynasty teams have just basically dumped off their roster after last year. He might make a comeback this year. He's looking good. Dorian Thompson Robinson, quarterback, Cleveland. We've talked about him. Malik Willis, quarterback, Tennessee. Again, second year guy has looked better than the guy behind him, let's just say, but better than last year. And he's a rushing quarterback, so he might have some value. Aiden O'Connell, quarterback in Las Vegas. We talked about him. Easton Stick, quarterback, Chargers. We've talked about him. He's looked good in preseason. A couple. Yep. I really had to scrape the bottom of the barrel at tight end, as you often are. But CJ Uzama and on the Jets, there is he's not the only guy there. You also have Conklin, so it's worth knowing that he's not he's probably not running away with this job, but just a name.
No.
Noah Gray, tight end for Kansas City. If Travis Kelce ever were to say inexplicitly retire or go down or anything like that, Noah Gray is the next man up there and looked good last year.
That'd be interesting. Do you think Travis Kelce is in the retirement space?
No. I see him retiring if they win another Super Bowl.
Gotcha. Because that'd be three for him, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think he's a guy that, similar to Tom Brady, would want to see himself slowing down and would want – he would need the game to kick him out before he retires.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, crap. Did I miss an appointment today? Oh, I did not. All right, cool.
Don't worry, guys. Chip did not miss his appointment.
I'm like, crap, not another one.
good quality podcast fodder there.
Just take that out. Anyway, well, yeah, this was good. This is interesting. The only thing I disagree, the whole list, the only two things I disagree, well, one thing I disagree with you on was Jackson Smith and Jigba. No one's giving him up for the cheap. You're crazy.
Rookies are hard to buy. You'll notice that there really aren't any rookies in the trade for categories other than him. And that's just because of the injury. So I tried to stay away from them.
Yep. They are. So don't come at my rookies, because it's going to pay arm and leg and a kidney. So, all right. Well,
you heard it. Just one kidney. That's all it takes. You got a spare.
I'll kill you. I don't want to be greedy. But anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. Next week, we're talking season rankings in week one.
Please reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter. Follow and message us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of the things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's BORNE football. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
That's our weekly podcast, y'all. Don't forget, choose happiness and spread love.
Give them hell.